B-Pod Studios.
So, the great Sal Pal is on the Comcast Business Hotline. Sal Pal, you're taking your game to a completely new level. Tell the people.
I'm blessed, obviously, to have such a long career at ESPN. And thank you for having me on the show. This new opportunity is just something like a dream come true. I'm going to be in the booth as an analyst for the ESPN national broadcast on radio of the Jets-Giants game at MetLife Stadium. And I'm super excited about it. I really am. You know,
this is awesome.
To go from a beat writer at the Philadelphia Inquirer to a booth analyst in a game. Took me a long time, right, Ant? But I'm finally there.
Hey, by the way, too, and you know, it's New York, New York, all right? And you're the analyst.
Yeah.
You're the man in charge of breaking the game down. That's a huge deal. That's, you know, Howard Cosell type stuff.
Yeah, and it comes full circle of life, doesn't it, right? So 50 years ago, first pro football game I attended was the first ever Jets-Giants game, preseason game at the Yale Bowl in New Haven. Believe it or not.
Wow.
I was 13 years old. Me and my friends and one of their dads took the train up to New Haven from Queens. And we sat in the end zone about 25 rows up, I remember, you know, about halfway up the bowl. And all we wanted to see is Joe Willie Namath in all his glory, because Jets were coming off the Super Bowl win. And it was the first time ever. This was like August 1969. And Joe Willie threw three touchdown passes. And right after that, the Giants fired their head coach, Ali Sherman, like literally right before the season started.
That's amazing, man. And now,
so the first one I'm in the booth is Life Comes Full Circle 50 years ago.
That's beautiful, man. Congratulations. I feel like De Niro when he finds out that Pesci's getting made.
Well, you know, it's kind of cool because, you know, we all started out in newspapers. And, you know, to be on TV for 25 years, national TV, longevity. I was at the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony last night. Fantastic, fantastic.
Jason,
event. The Riverwinds Casino. And Susie Culber, my colleague, was one of those inducted into the Hall of Fame.
She's a great Philadelphian, yeah.
Yeah,
love Susie. Great football. Yeah. Great football family.
She said in front of everybody, she said, you know, I try to think of longevity as my biggest accomplishment because it's not easy to stay in this business a long time.
You got that right, brother. But that's an amazing thing. How do you prepare now for this matchup? Like, so now you're in the analysts. How are you going to prepare for it?
Lots of hot tea. Lots of throat lozenges. Yeah, you know, because I'm used to talking in short spurts. But now I got to do a whole game, so got to warm up the pipes for sure. As far as X's and O's, you know, I know those two teams very, very well. I've covered both Darnold and Jones when they were drafted by the Jets and Giants, respectively. Just did the Monday Night Football game, the Cowboys-Giants game.
Yeah.
And went back and watched that game. And, you know what's really, really interesting is it's a 2-7 Giants, 1-7 Jets. There's jokes all around, punchlines everywhere. But this game, Ant, is no laughing matter. Not for the players, not for the coaches, not for the organizations. Hey, and not for the NFL, for that matter. The league doesn't want this kind of wretched football in the country's number one media market.
Of course not.
It's bad for TV ratings. In many ways, it's bad for the Eagles. You don't want to have bad competition. You know, Giants come into the link in next month. You don't want a bad team coming in here. You want that dynamic tension. So, and you know, but when you think of just New York, it's an embarrassment. The real victims here really are the fans. This game's no laughing matter for the paying customer. It ain't cheap to go to an NFL game.
Nah. Here's the only thing, though. The fact that it's two young quarterbacks and The Giants feel different because of Daniel Jones, right? Like they're a different story. There's more of a hope around it. It's a different. It's not like Eli playing out the string.
Yeah, well, it's two young quarterbacks. You know, and the league has got massive turnover at the quarterback position, and it just shows what kind of great shape the Eagles are with Carson Wentz. You know, knock on wood, stay healthy. But you know, the bottom line is with Carson, when on that chair the Super Bowl year. And I always maintain he's just as responsible for the Super Bowl win as Nick Foles is, because they don't get that home field advantage without Carson. I do believe that in my heart, and the facts bear it out. Nick Foles was the closer. He was the Brad Lynch. But, you know, the Eagles are so set up. You know, and I was with Doug Peterson recently, and he talked again about the Cowboys game, about how they had those turnovers early. You know, to me, Ant, if the Eagles don't turn the football over, they're a freight train. Even with spotty play at the wide receiver position, and they'll get better. They'll get better.
Do you really? Because you know, it's funny. I was going to ask you, since you know you are playing analyst Sal Powell with us, and make sure if you get a chance to listen to Jets Giants, and you can hear Sal. I will be doing that. And you can hear Sal breaking it down, which is awesome. But I got to tell you, explain to me how they're a freight train, because I don't think their offense matches their defense. So, yeah, I think that they can grind it out, long drives and, you know, multi-plays and grind it down the field, go 12 personnel. But you need a tougher defense, a really staunch, tough defense to play that style.
Defense has gotten better the last couple of weeks, gotten healthier. Jalen Mills has made a big impact. To me, the MVP of the team is Fletcher Cox, hands down.
Yeah, Fletcher has played a lot better.
Well, the rotating accomplices has, you know, been rough. It's been tough. And
the Malik Jackson thing killed them.
Killed him. Then Jernigan gets hurt. Malik Jackson gets hurt. Then you bring Hassan Ridgeway in, and now you got this guy, that guy. And, you know, this hasn't been easy.
Well, real quick, because my fear is that, like, again, I don't think they're a bad defense, but I don't think they're a lockdown defense that matches their offense. I think their defense matches a team that gets out in front and they can score, because, you know, it's all well and good. You shut the Bears and Bills down. But when you face a quarterback that's got a running back and receivers that can actually throw the ball down the field, where you have a multifaceted offense, that's where I worry about
them. Well, now more and more teams, including the Eagles, are playing man-to-man. And when you're doing that, if you attack the quarterback, you're going to be in pretty good shape. And with Mills and Darby back, I think they can play more man-to-man. And I think they're going to be more and more successful defensively. Like right now, they're scoring, 25 points a game?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So if you score 25 and you're given, if you can get it to around where you're giving up 20 points a game or even less than that, you know, you can be in pretty good shape. Right now, they're giving up, 24 points a game? So it's tight. It's tight.
But I hope you're right, and it would be great to have a really good story over the second half where they catch fire and, you know, and we can get this town excited again.
Well, we've seen
again.
The spark already, Ant. The spark's there. They're catching it a little bit.
Okay.
You know, if they attack Brady, and I think they will, I mean, they got to attack him. Don't pussyfoot around like you did in the Super Bowl. They got to attack. Jim Schwartz has got to put his blitz hat on. Attack him. Watch, if you go back and watch a little bit of the film of Brady against Baltimore and against
Baltimore. I watched every second of it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to get hit.
Yeah.
You don't want to get hit.
I agree with you. You're right. In fact, I like Baltimore in the game because I thought that defense would pressure him. They had the secondary to play man, to get on top of them, and you know, as good as that defense is, you know, they haven't seen that. Greg Roman's terrific at his run designs.
Yeah, he's got a great weapon in Lamar Jackson. And, right. You know, not for nothing, I don't know what you were doing at 42, but I wasn't throwing, dropping back 50 times at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night when I was 42 with the Baltimore Ravens running after me in M&T Bank Stadium. I mean, come on, right? I mean,
yeah.
Why are you...
Yeah.
He's a 42-year-old man dropping back 50 times, you know, way past his bedtime.
Yeah. I love your optimism, Sal Pal. I love that you're going to be an analyst this week. I'm so happy. I can't wait to listen to you. It's going to be awesome.
You're in a good spot there, Chicken Pizza in Marlton. That's a nice spot.
That is your spot. I know, right here. I know it's Sal Pal country right here.
All right, brother. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Listen, break a leg, man. You're going to be great at it. Thank you.
All right, cover.
Love you. There he is, Sal Pal.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.